Otherwise, how can one think about the Buddha and hope to have samatha? Do you have the inclination to think about the qualities of the Buddha all the time?
If there is no understanding of the teachings, how can one think about the virtues of Buddha? Impossible.
And metta or anything. How can you just have metta?
Mm-hmm. Can you contemplate these issues? Let's not lose track of the ability of the mind. And this might get too academic. One can consider a subject over and over again. One can study a subject over and over again.
If it's a concept, sure, that's what people do, concepts. But what, here we're talking about kusala chittas.
Well, you can contemplate the characteristics of metta. I assure you, you can do that. And you can contemplate the characteristic of karuna as well. You can consider them.
Kunsuchin's shaking her head.
Well, that's
disagree.
We totally agree to disagree.
There has to be conditions for that to happen. Just like there has to be conditions for metta to do metta.
Well, the conditions, like there has to be conditions to be here right now. We create them. We went to the airport, we bought a ticket, we got on a plane and we came here.
Excuse me, who choose?
Who chooses? Conventionally or not? But I think conditions choose. Conditions really choose. But conditions can be generated. Conditions can be
cultivated. What is condition again?
Conditions are factors that influence
yes,
a particular
and
moment.
So what is factor again?
What is factor? Circumstances. Yes. Aspects of the moment that arise. That,
yes,
that
and what is moment again?
Now is moment.
So
this is moment.
Right.
What is this?
Okay, right. Now we're getting down to seeing, hearing, it's smelling, tasting. Is that it? That's what this is, right?
Even thinking, I think that is conditioned.
Yes.
For everyone.
Yeah.
So it's not one who is choosing at all.
Sounds
so what chooses?
Conditions. Conditions influence.
What do you mean by conditions?
Thinking.
So thinking is conditioned because we have different thinking right now.
Mm.
So each moment of thinking is conditioned.
Mm.
Even thinking of choosing is conditioned too. At the moment you are choosing to go here or to go there, it's by conditions that make you choose like that.
Tell me one thing, slight diversion here. Does study of the Dharma, does that condition wisdom?
Before hearing Dharma, what do you understand? And after hearing Dharma, what do you understand?
Well, you have a greater level of understanding mm-hmm. of the subject. That's what I experience. Is that what other people experience?
The purpose of listening is to understand.
Understand, that's right.
Yes.
So I find by listening, considering the Dharma, helps me to understand better the subject.
Mm-hmm. Help understanding grows.
Yes, that's right, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
So much with metta as well. When I hear the subject of metta,
mm-hmm.
when we discuss metta,
yeah.
when I consider metta,
yeah.
I find that it's a condition
no.
for metta. What? Same argument. We have a lawyer here. Is that the same argument? He's on your side. Forget it.
I just like to make a comment. I agree with everything you say about study, conditioning, understanding.
Yes.
Not necessarily at that moment. The study...
Oh, no, not at that moment. Sorry.
And likewise with metta or any form of kusala.
Yes, I agree with Jonathan, not at that moment. It's a growing thing. If there is study, if there is consideration, if there is listening, that's a condition at some point for some awareness or some understanding to arise.
But at the moment of studying, is there metta?
At the moment of studying? If the conditions arise for it, why not? If they don't arise,
alone, by
not?
Yourself, in the room?
Well, why not? Is there any limitations to conditions arising? They can arise at that time.
Metta is the moment when one is friendly to the other living being, right?
Or friendly, or can be mentally, or can be physical, or whatever, but friendly
right.
is one other thing. In other words, I could have metta for Jonathan in Hong Kong while I'm in Australia.
Right.
It could be just
further away Jonathan is, the easier
to have. No, you're pretty easy to have metta for Jonathan.
Because I think that there are two different things. While one is thinking or considering or contemplating on the meaning or the characteristic of metta, that moment is not the metta itself, but it's the beginning of understanding what metta is.
I agree.
So,
appreciating metta.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But it's not metta.
But it's the conditions.
Right.
Which takes us back to
right. So while one is developing metta, what does it mean? That is the moment of studying, understanding what metta is. But when one is developing metta, what is it?
When metta arises.
Not by considering about metta.
That's thinking about metta. Is that true?
So thinking about metta is not the moment of having metta.
No, but it's conditions for metta.
Right.
I mean, I've been listening here for 30 years. I know that. It's not easy. But the thing is, one's got to be positive until one learns and one's got to move on.
So you mean that while one is studying about metta, it's not the moment of developing metta. As while we are studying about Abhidhamma or Satipatthana, it doesn't mean that at the moment of studying, it is the moment of developing.
No, but it's a moment for conditioning, which I think is very important, Ajahn. We've got to be positive.
Yes.
One of the things I've learned over the years is that we must have, well, I certainly feel I have confidence in the Buddha's teachings. And the Buddha's teachings do work. They do work. You can't become a doctor or a lawyer if you don't have confidence in your subject, let alone how can you become enlightened if you don't have confidence in the teachings.
I'm sure that when you were in India, metta developed because of conditions, but you see poor children, see?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At that moment, metta develops.
Yes.
So in India, you have developed metta more than in Thailand?
I can't say that. You mean from the past?
This time
more than in the past in Thailand. But that's not to say
and
that. That's
after
not to
that,
say.
Now you are in Thailand, less metta or the same or more?
I'm not weighing. I don't go up to my hotel room to run away.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But all I can say is that conditions for metta and karuna, mustn't forget karuna, India was much greater because the suffering was much greater. Yeah.
And that is karuna. Mm. But in Thailand here, there can be metta any time and any moment as well.
Yes.
So can we know ourselves whether we develop metta better and better? No matter where we are, here in Bangkok, metta develops?
You know, certain circumstances, Ajahn.
No, not any certain circumstances
metta.
But for karuna, it needs
metta. I agree. But I was going to say that certain environments, for example, if you see a loved one crying in distress, there's more condition there for metta to arise at that point in karuna than if you're just walking down the street. So certain circumstances tend to generate
but
more.
But the development of metta does not need a particular situation at all to be friendly to anyone, better and better, more and more.
I'm not saying it needs it, but it.
And this is the development of metta.
Not a specific one or specific place. Mm-hmm. It has to be equal to all.
Yes. So what is the development of metta then? So let's
today you see any people, anyone, and you feel friendly. You're friendly, smile, or ready to help.
And what conditions that type of response?
Understanding or seeing the value or the advantages of kusala instead of moha, instead of dosa, instead of mana.
Mm-hmm.
What about metta to this or that person?
So it's considering.
This is the development.
Considering
because you have considered, you have contemplated a lot about metta.
Yes.
So it's time to develop whenever there is anyone.
Yes.
Okay, you don't know on the street, on the bus, on anywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So one understands how metta grows or develops by seeing the advantages of kusala.
When there's a person that is the object of consciousness, it's either kusala or agusala, and if it's kusala, it has to be, it must be one of the Brahma Viharas. Is that right?
Usually it is metta, because metta is adosa, non-dosa.
It's an interesting thought, isn't it? You wouldn't go around saying, oh, is this metta? Is that
metta or lobha?
Metta or lobha.
They are very close.
You don't really know the moments of metta, like really that moment of metta, until there's some understanding of the difference between namas and rupas.
I can't say
between
for sure.
Between akusala and kusala, even not nama and rupa.
Before, to know kusala, to really.
When one is kind, it's not akusala. But one might not know anything about nama and rupa at all.
Right. I'm talking about that very moment. You don't know. The kindness might be out of lobha for you, or kind to you, or it might be real.
But there can be knowing, which isn't satipatthana.
Wasn't like I was thinking I'd go back to India because there's more opportunity for Gustava. It's just simply if there's starving children on the street, there's an opportunity to feed them, that's all.
What about no matter poor or rich, there can be metta.
Yes. But I find it interesting though, I find this fascinating, this thought. If it's Gusala, then it must be one of the Brahma Viharas. That's very unusual to be saying it must be one of the Brahma Viharas.
It's not necessary, because Brahma Vihara has to be with people as object.
All right, so if we deal with an inanimate object and there's Gusala, what would be the rise of the Gusala in that particular relationship? I understand...
Non-attachment. But normally it's a Gusala, whether it's people or things. Normally, in a day, it's a Gusala of at least a mild level.
I don't know about that. I look at Ajahn, I'm not feeling any agusala. There's no reasons for it to feel like agusala.
What are these? Gusala, agusala?
I think there's more objects, more conditions for agusala, looking at that, because we have such a strong...
What about a pretty dog?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You have gusala or agusala when you see a pretty dog?
Sometimes I have gusala, sometimes I have agusala, mostly agusala. Mm-hmm.
Usually, gusala. Mostly, no matter dog or human being. Mm. Ant? Yeah. Snake?
Oh, definitely Agusala. But when Azita was saying about, well, to know the difference, I agree that if I'm looking at you right now, I can't say I'm having metta, but I know I'm not having aversion, I'm not having any sort of...
Strong aversion.
Well, dislike.
What about
I'm
attachment? Subtle attachment?
Well, that's possible. That's
the near enemy of metta.
Yeah. And or delusion, too. That's probably a strong one, isn't it? Perceiving you in a particular way, which means it's the moment full of delusion. Is that right? Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Moha, yeah.
Can one say, in fact, only an Aryan, only a Sotapanna would be able to develop jhana with this object, even to upachara?
It depends on that person's accumulation.
And is it because there is too much thinking about the qualities that it cannot be developed to that level, or is it because of the depth, the difficulty of the object?
I think that one cannot pay respect or appreciate the other's virtues when one doesn't know about
the virtues,
yet. So one can appreciate only what one understands.
So only an Aryan would be able to even appreciate
more than the others.
More.
Yes, but a person may be a Puthachana, but appreciates the teachings on the level that he appreciates.
Right.
And there may be conditions that he's reminded again and again on that level.
Thinking about Buddha with respect,
That
is Puthanusati.
Right. So can't, not necessarily an Aryan, a Puthachana, have Puthanusati on his level, but to the extent that it can condition come?
By understanding.
But not necessarily deep understanding of the Aryan.
You mean that the person who does not know much about the teachings can appreciate more?
But knows it just on his level, at the level of Pariyatti.
According to those who know better, who can appreciate better.
For example, metta is simply having a concept of a person as an object. So one can have pariyatti knowledge, understanding.
But who knows better, the Aryan or the one who just studied?
I'm not talking now about the understanding. I'm talking about chittas conditioning calm, one following the other.
By having the Buddha's virtues as the object,
yes.
Or what?
Buddha's
so it depends on the understanding. For example, those who are not Aryan cannot attain access concentration at all.
No, I know it's unlikely that someone with just pariyatti knowledge
even
would
if
have...
the jhana has been developed with other objects and cannot appreciate it. Would it be the same with dhamma?
Sangha. Or six, anusati.
You mentioned mana earlier when we talk about metta.
Mm-hmm.
Is mana something that arises often in a day? Seems to me that it
depends on accumulation.
Is it a common accumulation to compare all the time?
No, not necessary to compare.
As I go through the day, it seems to me there's a lot of comparing all the time.
What about your own ego?
A lot of that.
Comparing or it's my own.
Just comparing,
no
not
time
with
to
myself
compare.
With another.
No time to compare.
I think there is, because there's a lot of what I would call background thinking. As we are sitting here talking, for example, then there's a lot of paying attention to what's being discussed, but there's also noting other things around us, particularly in relation to other people, and noting, and I would say, comparing of one kind or another.
Do you have time to compare?
Yeah,
mana?
Lots of time.
Before mana arises?
Before mana arises, yes.
But like you said before, it can be very subtle, like just looking at the blue book and thinking what a funny colour to choose for the cover of the book can be mana. So as soon as there's looking, it can flip in very easily.
Are you sure that you have to compare?
I'm not saying I have to, I'm just saying it seems to happen a lot.
Or is it in your mind, so it can arise anytime?
Yeah, I think so.
But is it mana to think, gosh, I'm not asking this question because everybody else here has done it for 30 years and
that's
I'm the only idiot.
Mana.
Yeah.
Right.
It's definitely mana. That's a really good example.
That's it, I'm not coming tomorrow. Yeah.
So then I come back to the metta subject. When you said there's no rich or poor, there's no India or Thailand, the metta should be the same.
That is the real metta.
The real metta. Okay. So that is the high level of Panyana.
No.
It's the quality of metta, whether or not there's any satipatthana. Because a lot of what one takes for being metta
and also karuna is not really, because it's just this specific one, this one child that has the nice smile. So often we take attachment for being metta. Or when we feel a bit sad about the beggar, we take it for being compassion. So the near enemies of attachment to metta and dosa for compassion creep in all the time. So when it's a special one knows it's not metta.
But Panya supports the development of metta by which condition?
As much as one's accumulation. So one knows by oneself what Brahmavihara is not difficult for one's own accumulation. For example, for you, what Brahmavihara is easy than the other?
Karuna.
And see, she knows for her. Because
but
she can understand
karuna,
the difference between. No,
when
you know.
Just to check a point, people have been talking about having the Brahma, the hearers, for a person, but it really is for a being, isn't it? It's for, like, someone's dog, or you can have metta, or
yes.
It's just a being, it's not a person or a human. It's
any
a
being.
A being,
yes.
Okay.
This is related to samatha, the idea of samatha. And this relates to an incident that happened a few days ago. We went to an elderly person's birthday party, and of course the subject got on to Dhamma. And one of the relatives studies, and they think she's really knowledgeable about Dhamma. And of course, my husband made his usual comment how Betty does not bhati bhat, so
she talks, but she doesn't practice. Is that what he said?
Right,
yeah, right.
She doesn't practice, you see. She goes to this Dhamma class and she wastes her time there and she doesn't practice. And because her personality hasn't changed.
Very loving relationship.
Right.
Is that metta?
Right, it's the opposite. And then, of course, since I don't, in his eyes, I don't bhati bhat, I'm wasting my time, of course. And various emotions then, of course, arise over here. Some, most of the time it's dosa. Most of the time it's just dosa for this. And yet I find it really difficult to explain to others, because that's the general Buddhist conception, that when you do samatha, I'm going back to the samatha thing, when you do samatha, there should be this aura of tranquility around you all the time, that you should be calm, that you should not get angry.
When I was 20, 22, I think, Dhammadhara, prior Allen at the time, I remember he said that. He said, you just don't go to these functions. You just avoid them because they're very frivolous. And when he said that, I considered when I used to go to parties or to functions or whatever, and they're very, for me anyway, they were very frivolous. Just a very frivolous time, a waste of time. And so I decided when Prahlad said that then, I said, that's it. I'm not going anymore to parties or functions or anything. So my family's Italian, and I never go to weddings. Even people invite me. Even to be the best man, I don't go. But people accept that. Even my family, they don't invite me anymore now. But we're still very good friends. They accept that. They understand. They take me as I am. What do you think about that, about avoiding these situations and not going?
Okay.
Well, sometimes you're hurting other people.